I was driving down Interstate 81 south from Syracuse, New York. I just dropped off my wife and kids. I was driving, and there was a snowstorm, and I was just driving along, and my car turned sideways going down the highway. It didn't even slow down. It just started going sideways. And I'm thinking, oh, this is not good. So we are reading in Galatians chapter 3, and the book of Galatians is, Paul is leveling a defense against those that have come against him and his teachings. Paul has always taught that that salvation is by grace alone through faith, by grace alone through faith, that it's not by works. And as it says, as he had written in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. It's not a result of works that no one may boast. And Judaizers, that's what these people were called in the Bible, they would come and they would say that Paul needs to require people to observe the law of Moses in order to get saved. So remember we read in Acts chapter 15, verse 1, they said you have to be circumcised to be saved. And then later on in that chapter, just a few lines down, it says, and observe all the law of Moses, the 613 commandments. And Paul was like, no, you don't have to obey any of those to get saved. Salvation is by grace, faith and grace. Now he's speaking to the Galatians themselves. So the first two chapters, it's like he's taking on those who had been accusing him of this. Now he's speaking to the Galatians because he had led many of these people to the Lord. This was his teaching. And now he feels that they're reverting, they're going back, and they want to go back under the Jewish law. They never came in under the law. These were primarily Gentiles, and now he's saying you got to go back under the law. They're thinking you got to go back under the law. So he is freeing them from this. And so let's read chapter 3 again. We'll overlap a little bit because we're going to focus on verse 6 today. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Do you suffer so many things in vain? Or did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does not he who provides you with the Spirit and who works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. So he provides a way of faith, a way of blessing, and this comes through faith. If we learn to have faith, there is an amazing blessing of God. I want you to think about this, that if you have faith, there's a tremendous avenue for God to bring blessing upon your life. Think about that. If I have faith, God blesses my life all the more. There are just standard blessings that all human beings get. We get air to breathe, we get eyes to see, we get minds to think. But then there are blessings that come when we become believers, where we enter the family. But then there are other blessings that come by having faith. And here he says in verse 6, even so Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. You know, and if you read about Abraham, he seems to be a pretty calm guy. And Abraham, in the book of Genesis, is where we're introduced to Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 12, we're introduced to him, and God appears to him the first time in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. It says, Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. The very verse we just read, Paul cited it in the book of Galatians. He's citing this verse, Genesis 12, 3. This is a blessing that was given to Abraham. So in the verse 4, so Abram went forth, and the Lord spoke to him. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. So that was the first appearance where God spoke to Abram. Then the next one is in verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So now the Lord appeared to him and he made him a promise. I'm going to give this land to your descendants. And then again the Lord appeared to him. In chapter 13, verse 14 of Genesis, it says, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, this is Genesis 13, 14, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward, eastward and westward, for all the land that you see I will give to you and to your descendants forever. The other promise was just to his descendants. Now he gives him this promise, I'm going to give it to you and to your descendants as well as you. You're going to be a recipient of this. And then he says, verse 15, for the land which you see, I will give to you and to your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, walk about the land throughout its length and breadth, for I will give it to you. And this was the third appearance. And then there's this fourth appearance in chapter 15, Genesis chapter 15, reading from verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. And Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? This is the first time that Abram is having a dialogue with God. The first three times there was no dialogue. God spoke. Abram wasn't speaking back to him. But now the relationship is getting deeper. Abram speaks back to the Lord and he says, you know, you keep telling me about this descendant. He says, I don't have any children. My wife is barren. And so this top servant in my house, Eleazar, he's the one who's going to be my heir. Verse 4, then behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir. And he took him outside and said, now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you're able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Then he believed the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. He believed the Lord, he reckoned it to him as righteousness. This is the verse that Paul quotes in the book of Galatians. He's quoting this verse from the book of Genesis. We have the same documents. We have the same Old Testament that Paul was using. And we know that because we have the Dead Sea Scrolls. We have the from that era. We have the Septuagint from that era. Using the same book. The same thing. This is what he's quoting from. So look at this. Verse 5, and he took him outside. God took Abram outside. How did he do that? Did he carry him? Did he take him by the hand? What do you mean he took him out? We're not told. But you see the intimacy here. God took Abram outside. He took him outside. He didn't just say, you, out. No, he took him. He took him outside. There's a relationship. He took him outside and he said, now look toward the heavens. And in fact, this took him outside. It's almost as if he's saying, please look toward the heaven. There's this word na in Hebrew, but he says, it's almost like please do this. It's so friendly. He says, now look toward the heavens and count the stars. Now, if you've ever been out camping in a place where there's no lights around, gazillion stars. That's what it was like. It took, count the stars, if you can. I mean, how do you count the stars? And that's why astronomers take a picture and they would circle them. You know, now they have the computers that count the dots, but you couldn't. And so, you know, it's this little bit of needling. Go ahead, count them if you can. And he said, if you're able to count them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. Then he believed the Lord and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. All of a sudden, there's this belief in the Lord and there's this quiet confidence. When the word of God speaks, you begin to believe it. Let me tell you a story about a man that I knew. He had great faith. So I was at a Christian convocation, which means a Christian gathering. And there was this man who was an Indian. He was from the Indian region of the Himalayas. And he came to this conference. He wasn't one of the speakers. He was just one of the attendees. And he was a pastor in these mountains, in the Himalaya mountains. These are tough guys. That's a tough environment to live in. And we gathered early before the service to pray. People would come and those who wanted to could gather early to pray. So I was there, he was there, and a couple of other people. There were not many of us. And we were praying for the meeting that day, and it was raining. It was raining pretty hard. So this man prayed, and he was an older man. It was very hard for him to get on his knees. He just sat in the chair, and he said, Lord, there's rain all around. I pray you remove the rain so as the saints come from their room, they can come into this hall without getting wet. And I'm thinking, it's pouring out. This guy gets done with his prayer. The rain stops, and it just starts opening. There was black clouds all around, except over that. We were renting out a college campus, a small liberal arts college campus. The campus was dry, just dry. The rain just stopped, just like that. This guy had no doubt that God would do this. There was no doubt that God would do this in his mind. And boom, this amazing peace this man had. He just asked the Lord, and the Lord answered. I had seen something similar in my own life. Shireen and I, ever since we got married, in fact, before we got married, I prayed. I said, Lord, you know, we want to have international students to our home. I pray that we get an apartment, because I had put my name in for married student housing. I had not even looked at the married student housing. You get what apartment they give you. There was no selection process. And I prayed, Lord, that we get an apartment on the ground floor at the end of the building so that we could easily go outside in the back and that there would be some picnic tables out there so we could have people to our home. I had never seen it. I was just praying for this. We got assigned a house, an apartment at the end of the building with a whole park behind us full of picnic tables and a covering thing. And it was just amazing, called Squirrel Park. This is exactly what we got. I remember, and we used to have these international students over. We would invite them, and Shireen would cook this food, and we would just hand it out the window and set up the picnic tables. And one day, my pastor was going to bring in two van loads of international students. That he was a professor, and he had this program for international students, and he was going to bring them to our home for lunch. And it was raining, and we were setting things up, and I called the brothers and sisters together, and there were some other people among us who weren't even believers in Jesus. And I said, let's pray that God clears away these clouds. People are looking at me like, you got to be kidding me. And so got on my knees right there, and I prayed, Lord, move away the clouds so we can have our time together. Just like that, the clouds started to move away. Pastor drove up. He gets out of the van. He said, it is pouring everywhere except right here. We had the whole picnic, the whole time with this group. The sun was shining in right through this hole in the clouds. As soon as the picnic was ending, it started to drizzle. As soon as they got back in the car, the clouds just started pouring rain again. God answers prayer. There's a way of walking with faith, and you see that pattern. Jesus made many proclamations. On the last great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. I want you to think about this now. Jesus stood on the last great day of the feast. Jesus stood. So Jesus is going to stand up and he's going to cry something out. He's going to proclaim something. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. If anyone is thirsty, there has to be some desire there. We have to long for this. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Lord, I want to increase my faith. Lord, I want this. I don't want to just be like a normal life. I want to have this faith-filled life. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, Jesus banked on the scriptures. He referred to the scriptures. You can bank on this thing. To Jesus, this was real. This was not just a bunch of old words to Jesus. Remember, there was no New Testament. He was using the Old Testament that had been finished writing 400 years before Jesus. And a lot of it had been written 1,800 years before Jesus. And to him, this is truth. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That's what Jesus said. That was his proclamation. That's what he said. And Jesus said, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is what he said. Are we going to believe this thing? Then he said, take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and humble in heart, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, we can have an exchange. Have you ever felt so overwhelmed? How am I going to get all of this done? How am I going to study for MCAT while I got all of these other classes? How am I going to do all of these things? I think I am the busiest person in the world right now. Nobody has more classes than I do. Nobody has more exams than I do. I am sure my professors got together and they just scheduled all the exams on the same week. It just happens to me all the time. Have you ever had that feeling? I thought I was the hardest working undergraduate. I mean, I just felt I was just piled on. Graduate school, I felt, was much easier than undergraduate. Undergraduate, because you get so many different classes. And I remember saying, Lord, I will exchange burdens with you. He said, come, take my yoke upon you. Take my burden. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, I'm gentle and humble in heart. He says, take my yoke. Jesus makes proclamations. He said these things. The first one was in John 7, verse 37. This one is in Matthew 11, 28. When he says, come. He says, come. He makes this proclamation for us. And he says, if you'll take this thing by faith, these are not empty words. The word of God is not empty. These are powerful words. But if anyone is thirsty, you'll get it. I'm not going to intrude on your life. If you're thirsty, you will get this. If you really hunger for this, you will get this. These are the things that he tells us. He has these promises for us. You know, in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, it says at the end, it says, in quietness and in trust is your strength. In quietness and in trust. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, in quietness and in trust is your strength. In quietness, Lord, am I going to trust you? In quietness and in trust is your strength. Lord, I trust you. As it says in John chapter 8, he who sent me is trustworthy, Jesus said. Jesus knew his Father and he knew he was trustworthy. One of the things that happens when you walk with the Lord for decades is you get this deep and abiding trust. That come what may, and the same things that hit everybody in life are going to hit us. I mean, we undergo death, we undergo lose jobs. I mean, all sorts of things happen to us. But there's this assurance that God will care for me. I don't have to run around like people of the world. God will care for me. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. This is how righteousness was assessed. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. There are other verses in the Bible. They become a part of you. They become a part of you. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, Proverbs 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and those who run into it shall be safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and those who run into it shall be safe. I taught that to my kids when they were little. I said, remember Jesus, remember his name. When you are in trouble, call upon Jesus, call upon Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and those who run into it shall be safe. Have you ever woken up at night and just felt oppression, felt scared for some reason, hard to define why, and just almost too scared to think about how you're ever going to sleep? How could you ever sleep? Call upon Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, come and help me. Lord Jesus, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and those who run into it shall be safe. I was driving down Interstate 81 South from Syracuse, New York. I just dropped off my wife and kids. I was driving, and there was a snowstorm, and I was just driving along, and my car turned sideways going down the highway. I was literally going down the highway sideways. It didn't even slow down. It just started going sideways. And there were cars behind me, and I'm thinking, oh, this is not good. And I just said, Jesus, help me. The car, I'm just telling you, the car went pshh, just like, I didn't touch anything. It just corrected itself. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and those who run into it will be safe. These are treasures that build our faith. When you take the word of God and you make it a part of your life, these are treasures that encourage us, that keep us safe. In Psalm 112, verse 7, Psalm 112, verse 7, it says, he will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. I mean, how many of us fear evil tidings? You know, nothing has happened. Nothing has happened. But I fear something might happen. I'm going to lose my spouse. I'm going to lose my child. I'm going to lose my mother. Is your mother sick? No. But I just have this fear I'm going to lose my mother. She's not sick? No. How's her health? She's fine. But I just have this fear. You don't have to fear evil tidings. You don't have to fear evil tidings. Psalm 112, verse 7. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. You don't have to become neurotic thinking about all these things that tear up our lives, worrying about everything. He says, heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. The Lord gives us these as promises to hold on to. We get these things. And then come what may, we're different. We're different. This is what he's saying to us. He says, Abram, it says that he believed the Lord and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. When we believe God, we could rest. We could rest. God promised that he was going to give Abram a son. He promised he'd give him a son from his own body. He says, this is not going to be someone from your own body. And boom, from that day, Abram could rest. Now, God didn't tell him that it was going to come from your old wife, Sarah. And that's why he didn't know exactly where this thing was going to come from, so he went with Hagar. God later on said, no, it's from Sarah it's going to happen. And he's like, Sarah? And it says Abram laughed. Abraham laughed when God told him that. I mean, it was amusing to him. And then Sarah laughed, and she got in trouble. I don't know why Abram didn't get in trouble. Abraham didn't get in so much trouble, but Sarah got in trouble for that. But that's why Isaac's name was Isaac, which means he laughs. And so this whole idea that you get a word from God, and you know, when God made this promise to Abram, it was like 20 years before he had his son. 20 years. It's like, Lord, I prayed this morning and I'm not seeing it. Where are you? This is 20 years. 20 years. God's time frame is not the same as mine. You know, I've prayed for a lot of things in life that I haven't gotten because the answer was no. I didn't realize that at the time, but I am so glad I didn't get what I prayed for. I am so glad because I got something much, much better. Many times, God has a view for us that's so much better. And then he gives us this amazing contentment. Think of what the word of God will do for you. God appears to Abram. There were no scriptures for Abram at this time. So God's stopping and talking with him and speaking to him. This was the fourth appearance when he says, Abram believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. It was by the fourth appearance that now Abram's really taking hold of God. You pick up the word of God. You start meditating on that word. It takes time before you start really embracing this and saying, wow, this means something to me. In the book of Philippians 4:12, it says, Paul says, I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You know, sometimes you find yourself in situations and people around you, I can't live in this place. I can't live like this. I need to have my own shower. And you just step back and you remember this verse. Paul said, I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me, through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. You'll find yourself in situations. You go to the mission field and people around you are snoring or something. Yeah, I can't sleep like this. Just remember. You remember this verse, and it will help you. It will help you. There are things that in your life that these things will help you. And these verses become a part of your life. And what does it do? It raises your faith, and that is righteousness. It raises your faith. Your faith becomes raised through all of this. These words are treasures for us. They're treasures. I urge you, take hold of the word of God. Make this your treasure, daily treasure. We have looked over these verses many times. Again and again, the promise is for meditation on the Word of God every day. I got saved when I was 18 years old. Shortly after that, I was taught about reading the Bible every day, every day. For over 45 years, I have read my Bible every day. And by every day, I mean every day. Even when I was sick, even when I was down, I read the Bible every day. Read the Bible this morning. First thing, got up, started reading the Word of God. You make this a part of your life. It changes you. It causes you to believe God. It causes you to believe God and then to take hold of it. Jesus said in John 7, verse 17, if anyone is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. If anyone is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching whether it's of God or whether I speak from myself. I don't try to convince unbelievers of everything in the Bible. I share with people all the time, share the Lord with people all the time. And by all the time, I mean at least once a week, usually several times a week, sharing the Lord with people. The thing they've got to embrace is they've got to embrace that Jesus is Lord and that he's risen from the dead. That's special. God has placed that specially in the hearts of people. that's something they can embrace. But as far as the rest of the Word of God, when we're willing to do His will, then we start seeing these are the very teachings of God. This is why this book, this Word of God, is a treasure to me. I hear this word being read, it just stops me in my tracks. I'm like, what's that saying? And I recognize the Word of God immediately. You talk to men, you talk to women who have studied the Word of God and made it their meditation for decades. They'll testify to this, that I hear the Word of God and I just stop. Because this word is a treasure, because you come to believe every word in this. And what does it do? It raises your faith. Situations come at you and you think, I've been through this before. I've seen this happen before. You know, God saved me out of it one time. He saved me out of it again. He didn't bring me this far just to drop me. No way. He's not brought me this far just to drop me. He'll take care of me. And an assurance comes. He believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. This is walking in righteousness. This is what he has for us. If you don't know the Lord, I urge you, come and talk to me. Today, we will have lunch after this class. Come and see me at lunch. I'll sit with you, and I'll share with you the Word of God. And you'll come out believing today. If you don't know the Lord, if you're online and you're listening and you don't know the Lord, you can send me an email to tour@drjamestour.org. tour@drjamestour.org. We'll get together by Zoom, and I will share with you. Give me that opportunity. If you don't know the Lord, let me give you that opportunity to know the Lord. And you'll come to know the Lord that day. And then I'll give you a little prescription on the things you need to do to begin to grow in this. And if you walk in that, you'll grow. If you don't, you won't. And if you walk in what I'm sharing with you today, believers, if you take the Word of God and make this your daily meditation, and I really recommend you wake up early in the morning and do this, that you do this in the morning. This is what I recommend, that you do this every morning to make this your daily meditation. This is what I would recommend. And the reason I say the morning is because at night, all sorts of things come in the way. And it might mean you're waking up 15 minutes early, but you get in a pattern of this, it will change your life. And then you fall into the blessings of Abraham. Special blessings start falling into your life. When you walk in this, special blessings come. There are more blessings. God's got just warehouses full. You ever seen those warehouses that go on for miles and you drive down the road? What is that? That's an Amazon warehouse. God's got like that, but bigger, on a grand scale. And he's got all these blessings that never get taken advantage of. And when I see people that don't believe this, they don't want to take hold of the blessings, I'm like, Lord, don't let it go to waste. I'll take it. If they don't want it, I'll take it. I don't want it to go to waste. You know, don't let it sit in that warehouse. Give it to me. I believe you. I'll take it. These are tremendous blessings he has for us. Walk in this. Let's pray. Abba, blessed be your name. Forever and ever, we praise you. We praise you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the prism through which the light of God shines into the world. He is the access point to God the Father. He is the one that has taught us how to live, how to walk, how to have a life filled with the presence of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you demonstrated. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died for us, that while we were yet sinners, you died for us, that you died for us, the ungodly. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you rose from the dead. Thank you, Lord, that you say that you are coming back to get us. You are coming back to receive us. It's not going to be just angels that are sent for us. You said you are coming back, and I believe it, that you are going to come back for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are so wonderful in everything. You are so wonderful. Blessed be your name. Father, do this in these young people's lives. Raise their faith. Raise their faith that they would believe God and it would be reckoned to them as righteousness. It would be accredited to them as righteousness. Let them believe your word, every word in this book, every word in the Bible. Let them believe it. Father, your mercy be there. The grace of God be upon them. For the glory of Jesus and in his name, amen.